Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It is so good to see all of you on this Easter Sunday morning, and we are glad that you're with us today as we celebrate our risen Savior today. And as we begin, let's stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patria. Let's join together for our call to worship in the bulletin. Rejoice, for this very day God has acted. The good news of Easter goes out to all people. The one raised from the dead
invites us to walk in fullness of life.
Rejoice, for this very day God has acted. Well, let's do that this morning. Let's turn in our hymn books. Either you can turn there to 264, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint as we sing that hymn, He Lives, this morning.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world. His loving care, and though my heart done, lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs.
Join together there for our opening prayer found in your bulletin this morning. Risen One, who defeated the sting of death and broke the shackles of mortality, fill this place with your life-giving presence so we may be your Easter people filled with hope and purpose. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. I'm going to sing a new one for you. So please pray for me. This morning. Back here.
Carter Grant's Eagle back here. You saw the deer, yeah. Well, I'm glad you didn't run into him. But why do we celebrate all this? What is so special that we celebrate about Easter? This is when Jesus was risen from the dead. Risen from the dead, and he prays for us every day, just like we talked about a few weeks ago. Yes, you're exactly right. She said that Friday was her birthday, and she said that was the day that Jesus was crucified. That's right, it was. And we talked about that before. But today, we celebrate that Jesus is no longer in the grave, but he is risen. And because of that, he sits right next to God in heaven. And like I shared with you a couple weeks ago, he prays for us every day. Can you imagine that? Jesus prays for us. All the billions of people in the world. And you know what? He loves each of us. And he prays for us. And that's what's so exciting. And that's what I was just singing about. He's worthy of our praise. So when we sing our songs in church, we're praising God and we're praising Jesus because of how much he loves us and cares about us. And all of that. So, as you go downstairs, I want you to say it with me. You can say it out loud. Everybody. Well, you don't have to scream it, but you can at least say it out loud. We're going to say that he is risen. Are you ready? One, two, three.
He's risen!
He had it. If we were picking the loudest, you would have won. He is risen. Okay, you can go on downstairs.
So we're going to go to prayer this morning, and we usually don't take prayer requests from the floor on Easter Sunday just because of everything, but I can take one or two if there's something very special that needs to be brought up for prayer today. I will accept a couple of those if anybody happens to have one or two. Is there anybody this morning that happens to have one that they would like for us to, yes?
Okay.
Yes, definitely want to keep Gene in our prayers then as he's going in for surgery in the morning. Somebody else? Anybody? Huh? Okay. Brad has COVID. Okay. So we want to remember him in our prayers this morning. Yeah, that's probably why that coughing was so bad. Yeah. Yeah. So somebody else? Sorry, you guys on the front row, you're all going to have to wear masks when you go home. Oh, yeah. You know what? Okay, yes.
We're slipping food under the crack.
When Jody and I had COVID, I was locked in the one bedroom. So we did the same thing. I'm glad you're slipping food, though, underneath the door for him once in a while. So, somebody else, yes. Yeah, definitely cognitively, yeah. So we want to pray for Carol. Anybody else this morning? Real quick this morning, anybody else? I don't have any special ones that I want to add to that. I know there's been some folks in our church family that's been recovering from some things. But in just a moment here, we're going to go to prayer. And Carla always plays a little bit. And we always ask that you can pray quietly there in your seats. And if you came in with a special need today, or maybe for somebody special that you would like to lift up to the Lord, I just invite you to do it during that time or whatever you may need to pray about. And then I'll come and close us out. Our gracious God, we're thankful for this day that we can come together and celebrate on this Easter Sunday. Celebrate the resurrection day that we set aside during the year to remember that time and that period when you lived in this earth, Lord, and that you sent your son Jesus and that he gave his life that we might have eternal life. And we're thankful that on that third day that you raised him up and that he now sits at the right hand of you, O Father. And we're grateful and thankful for all of those things. And Lord, there may have been people that came in today with specific needs in their life, situations they're facing. God, I don't know all of the situations that they may be facing or going through, but God, you do. And I ask that your presence would be real to them in this place this morning. Let them know that they are loved and that you do care about them and every situation that they're facing in life, and that you would help to meet the needs and give them courage and strength and grace no matter what they're facing in this time, and that you would be with them. And we're thankful for that, that Jesus, you are with us through everything that we face, and we celebrate that today. Lord, we especially lift up the needs of those that were mentioned for Gene today, who's going in for surgery tomorrow, that you will guide and direct and lead there and bring him out on that other side where his recovery is quick, Lord, and that there'll be strength for him. We lift up Brad for you, asking for your healing touch for him today as he's battling COVID, that you would be with him and bring healing to his body and bring strength to him. And Lord, we lift up Carol to you with this UTI, Lord, that you would bring healing to her body and strength to her as they're trying to get that infection out of her. And Lord, we're thankful for the medicines and the antibiotics and all those things that help us in our times of need like that and health issues. And we just pray for your strength. And Lord, I lift up every one of those that are on our monthly list. Lord, I think of so many of them today that are battling serious health issues with cancer and so many other types of rare things, God. And we just lift up each one of them to you, asking for your healing touch and your presence to be with them and give them courage and strength, whether they're going through treatments or whether they're having surgery or whatever it may be, Lord, that your hand will be with them today. And Lord, thank you for this time that we can gather together and worship. I pray that you'll bless the rest of our time together. As we break the bread of your word, may you just encourage us and strengthen us and remind us of what you're doing in our world to make all things new. And Lord, we also pray that as we share at the table today, that each one of us will receive that special outpouring of grace into our lives, that we might receive what we need from you. In so many ways, Lord, we're each different, but you, Lord, know us, and I pray that you will just touch us as we gather around the table and share and receive as we thank you for that today. Lord, thank you for all of these things as we ask it now in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. you for joining us in prayer this morning. And now we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. Just want to say thank you again to our folks that just continuously give and support the ministry of the work here of our church, that we can continue to be a blessing. And so as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for the privilege that we have to be partakers and helpers in the work of your kingdom. Thank you that this offering now may it be used for the furtherance of your work in this world, helping those in need as we ask it now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. And you may be seated this morning. It's just so good. I didn't share this earlier, but just so good to see so many of you, especially some familiar faces I haven't seen in a while. And I know a lot of times on Easter Sunday, you come in and you're with family and loved ones. And it's just really great to see so many of you again during this time. So, well, our scripture reading is coming from John this morning. We're going to be using John's gospel as our reading for this morning. And we're going to be starting in chapter 19, which is a few verses back from the regular Easter story that we all often start with in chapter 20, because there's a couple verses there I want you to see that I'm going to focus on my message. And then we'll read through there through chapter 20, verse 7, and then 11 through 16. Following Jewish burial customs, they took Jesus's body and wrapped it with the spices in linen cloths. There was a garden in the place where Jesus was crucified. And in the garden was a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish preparation day and the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus in it. Early in the morning on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. She ran to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." Peter and the other disciple left to go to the tomb. They were running together, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and was the first to arrive at the tomb. Bending down to take a look, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he didn't go in. Following him, Simon Peter entered the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there. He also saw the face cloth that had been on Jesus' head. It wasn't with the other cloths, but was folded up in its own place. Mary stood outside near the tomb, crying. And as she cried, she bent down to look into the tomb. She saw two angels dressed in white seated where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and one at the foot. The angels asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She replied, "They've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they put him." As soon as she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Well, as I often share something funny, one Sunday, late in Lent, just before Easter, a Sunday school teacher decided to ask her class what they knew about Easter. The first little fellow suggested, "Easter is when all the family comes to the house and we eat a big turkey and watch football." Well, the teacher suggested, "Perhaps, I think you're thinking of Thanksgiving and not Easter." Next, a pretty little girl answered and said, "Easter is the day when you come down the stairs in the morning and you see all the beautiful presents under the tree." Well, at that point, the teacher was really feeling discouraged after explaining to that little girl that, "Oh, you're talking about Christmas." She called on a lad who tentatively held his hand raised in the air, and her spirits perked up as the boy said, "Easter is the time when Jesus was crucified and buried." Well, finally, the teacher had felt like she had gotten through to at least one child until he added, "And then he comes out of the grave, but if he sees his shadow, we have 6 more weeks of winter." I want to talk to you this morning about it happens in a garden. It happens in a garden. This week when I was working through these passages and looking at different things, for some reason or another, this thing about the garden jumped out at me. And I started focusing on that. Well, when I was a kid growing up, I loved helping my grandma in the garden. Working the ground, preparing rows and mounds for planting. And one of the things that I liked especially about that was the conversations that we had while we were working in the garden together. And along the way, my grandma taught me all of those little techniques for planting a garden and getting the best out of it. You notice I said rows, which was corn and peas and beans and onions and potatoes. But then we had mounds where we planted melons and I don't know, some other things. Yeah, squash. Yes, all of those different things there. Yes. And so and the one thing I can remember as a young kid, it was so cool how the garden just took on a life of its own as the first sprout, even to this day. It's just a funny thing. Even to this day, when I'm driving out to the church, cutting down Polecat and Troy Urbana, or cutting out to the school to sub, when after spring planting, I'm watching to see when the first corn starts to sprout up out of the ground, or the bean plants come out of there. And how then they grow over the weeks and months, and then it's harvest. Now notice I didn't talk about the weeds. That was always another story. But anyways, in our reading today, I want you to notice that there's something, and this is what struck me, there's something hidden in John's account of the Easter story. This is verse 41 of chapter 19. There was a garden in the place where Jesus was crucified. What was the place? Golgotha. Is that, I think, one of the gospel writers tells us. And in the garden was a new tomb in which no one had been laid. As I was thinking about that, I asked myself, why a garden? Why a garden? And how does it relate to Jesus' resurrection and God's purposes in our world today? So let's begin. Two things I want to talk to you about, and it's this. First of all, it begins in a garden. I don't know if you ever notice that the very first verse of John's gospel says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." What does that sound like? Sounds like Genesis. In the beginning, God created, or when God created the heavens and the earth. There's a connection there. And it's interesting that John talks about a garden, but guess what? Genesis talks about a garden. Where Adam and Eve, the human beings that God walked with in the cool of the day, experienced this relationship. And here's what I want you to see about this. When we're talking about it begins in a garden. And it's this. God's relationship with humans is symbolized with a garden. That garden, if you go back and read in Genesis, is lush, abundant, overflowing with life and blessing. This week as I was thinking about all that, I started Googling garden pictures. Now, I didn't just get local garden pictures or your average garden behind your house or at your place right now. I saw some. There is one in an Asian country. I don't even know what the name of it is. It may be in Taiwan or somewhere like that. The most beautiful garden I had ever seen in my life on those pictures. And it was a prayer garden of all things, which I found interesting. So here that garden in Genesis is lush, abundant, overflowing with blessing and life, telling me that their relationship with God was abundant and overflowing with life and blessing. And it's almost as if that garden in Genesis cares for itself. Because there's no mention of thorns. No mention of weeds. Boy, wouldn't that have been a nice thing, wouldn't it? Jody just told me yesterday, you know what? We got to get working on our flower bed out front that's full of weeds on that one side. It's beautiful. And we're told in Genesis that God planted that garden. Well, if you know the rest of the Genesis story, some things happen, don't they? The garden is life-giving until the relationship between Creator and humans is damaged. Something happened. Suddenly, the garden becomes toil. A different word is used there in Genesis. What was seemed to be so easy and what seemed to happen so naturally, all of a sudden became toil. Weeds started to overtake the garden. Labor becomes difficult in the garden. Humans go from enjoying the abundance of the garden to being burdened by the needs of the garden. It begins in a garden. Second thing I want you to see is it continues in a garden. That brings us up to our story from John here this morning. Here's what I want you to see. The events of Holy Week, which we just come off of and celebrated, every one of those days in Holy Week, the last week of Jesus' life, lead Jesus to a garden. Because we're told in the Gospels that after the Last Supper with the disciples, Jesus goes to a garden where he prays. And while he is there, we are told that he is handed over and arrested. And then he is crucified and is buried in a tomb in the garden. It all happens in a garden. Significant, isn't it? Well, from our reading this morning, resurrection happens in a garden. Mary Magdalene comes to the garden tomb to care for Jesus' body, and shockingly, she discovers that it's not there. Only the remnants of death remain, the cloths. And as Mary stands near the empty tomb, she encounters the risen Jesus, but she doesn't know it's him. Yet she thinks he's the gardener. And that struck me. Jesus the gardener. Why does John tell us that these things all happen in a garden? Why does John begin his gospel like the book of Genesis that talks about a garden? Why all of that? Well, here's what I want you to see this morning. Easter entails repairing the garden. The Word became a human being, ministered, faced death, was raised from the dead to set the garden aright. What Christ began in the garden continues with us. If we would have read all the way down into verse 21 of chapter 20, here's what Jesus says. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you. Here's my question for us this morning on this Easter Sunday morning. How might we help restore and repair God's garden? Now, we know it's God's work. And we know if Jesus is the gardener and he's involved with it, then he is making something new, is what I sang about in my song. Because Easter is about restoring the garden. It's about a new heaven and a new earth being created by our Creator God. It began in the garden and it continues in the garden where Jesus faced everything from death to new life. Here's the good news this morning. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. God is creating. Rejoice, saints. There's always hope, no matter what we're facing in life. When our garden feels like it's full of weeds, don't forget we have a gardener that is preparing and changing things little by little, because it all happens in a garden. That's the way God works in our lives and in our communities and in our world. Amen. Amen. Well, let's prepare our hearts, as we often do every time, that before we share together at the table for communion, that we always prepare ourselves by offering not only our thanks to God, but also a confession. And so I'm going to pull that up for you here and invite you to join with me in praying our prayer, if you would like to, together. So let's pray together. Spirit of eternity life, bless us and this bread and juice. As we partake, may you become part of us, Lord Jesus. Dare us to live for love and peace, trusting that all things will work together for good through the power of love that raised you from the dead, the love we share in your name through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Receive of that today. Receive of what he wants to do in our lives as we share at the table. As our deacons and deaconesses come to prepare, as we're going to share at the table, I want to just let you know, it doesn't matter if you come here regularly or if this is your first time in a long time, all of you are invited to participate this morning and share at the table and receive of the Lord's blessing through that this morning.
night when they had gathered together, Jesus took the bread and he broke it and gave thanks for it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do it in remembrance of me." Let's partake together.
Apostle Paul said, as often as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. Well, let's go ahead. We're about ready to finish up, so let's go ahead and stand, and we'll go ahead and go to our last little chorus there, Majesty. We'll sing it through a couple times, and then we'll go out and join our kids this morning as they go on their egg hunt. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory.
kingdom authority flows from his throne unto his home. His anthems ring. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Oh, majesty, worship his majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Let's sing it through again. Majesty, worship his majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory and praise. Majesty, kingdom authority flows from his throne unto his own. His anthems ring. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Oh, majesty, worship his majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all.
Well, let's join together for our benediction. Do not cling to the old. Instead, go forth in the new.
Because Christ lives, newness is ever before us.
Rejoice for the risen one who goes before us. May God bless you and keep us and give us favor now and forever. Amen. Amen.